Journey to Asia Minor, Acts 12:25-14:28. After delivering their gifts to the community in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Saul returned to Syrian Antioch in 46 AD and took the gospel writer John Mark with them. The community of Jesus in Syrian Antioch had a number of prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon Black, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who was raised with Herod Antipas, and Saul. While they were doing the work of the Lord Jesus and keeping their appetites in check by going without food, the Creator's Spirit said to them, "Barnabas and Saul need to drop everything they are doing, for I am calling them to go on a mission for me." So, after more time of praying and going without food, the community set aside Barnabas and Saul and sent them out for a mission in 48 AD. Being led by the Creator's Spirit, Barnabas and Saul headed to the coast and sailed to Barnabas' island home of Cyprus. Starting on the east end of Cyprus, and with the help of the gospel writer John Mark, they began announcing the word of the Creator in the synagogues of those devoted to the Jerusalem temple. From there, they headed west across the island to Paphos. There, they came across a man devoted to the Jerusalem temple who called himself Child of Jesus. This man dabbled in magic arts and claimed to be a prophet and follower of Jesus, even though he was not. This Child of Jesus was an advisor for the intelligent Roman governor of Cyprus, Sergius Paul. The provincial governor was interested in listening to the word of the Creator, and so he summoned Barnabas and Saul. But the false prophet, Child of Jesus, who also called himself Wise Man, began opposing Barnabas and Saul by trying to keep the Roman governor from trusting their word about Jesus. But Saul, who took on the name Paul in honor of this governor and his courage, was filled with the Creator's Spirit and stood firm against Wise Man. Paul said to him, "Your whole life is a lie. You are a child of the satanic desire to be in control. You are an enemy of true justice, for you are constantly twisting and distorting the way of the Lord Jesus. Look, the hand of the Lord is upon you to reveal the truth of what you are. You will be blind, unable to see for a season." Immediately, darkness fell upon Wise Man, and he started stumbling around looking for someone to lead him by the hand. Watching this take place, the Roman governor turned away from his old life to live by radical trust in the way and teaching of Jesus. He risked everything, even his very life, by proclaiming that Jesus and not the Roman emperor was the true Lord. Finishing their work in Cyprus, Barnabas and Paul headed north across the Mediterranean Sea to the province of Pamphylia. The gospel writer John Mark, however, decided to turn back to Jerusalem. From Pamphylia, Barnabas and Paul entered the province of Galatia and the city of Pisidian Antioch. There they entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. After readings from the Law of Moses and the Prophets, the leaders of the gathering spoke to Barnabas and Paul, saying, "Fellow Israelites, if one of you has a word of exhortation for the people, then please speak to us." So Paul stood up, raised his hand, and said, "Israelites, and those fearing the Creator, listen and pay close attention. The Creator chose our ancestors to be his people. And when they were foreigners in Egypt, he used his powerful arm to lift them out of their oppression and rescue them from slavery. Then for 40 years in the wilderness, he was patiently providing for them and protecting them with his very presence. After taking down the 7 nations in Canaan, he gave them that land in which to dwell. He gave them judges to lead them for over 450 years until the time of the prophet Samuel. But then they asked for a human ruler. So for 40 years, the Creator reluctantly gave them Saul, a man from the tribe of Benjamin. After removing Saul as ruler, the Creator chose a lowly shepherd boy named David to replace him, saying in the 13th chapter of 1 Samuel, 'David, the youngest son of Jesse, is a humble sheepherder who reflects my character and heart. I have chosen him to listen to me and act according to all of my desires.' Then, according to his faithful promise, the Creator brought Israel a rescuer from David's family line. His name is Jesus. John the Baptist proclaimed a baptism into a new way of thinking in order to prepare all the people of Israel to listen to the way of Jesus. While John the Baptist was faithfully fulfilling his task, he was saying, 'Who do you think I am? I am not the one to rescue the creation from tyranny and death. But look, he is coming after me, and I am not even worthy to untie his sandals. My fellow children of Abraham, and those among you who are fearing the Creator, the message of salvation for all creation was given and brought to us. But those in Jerusalem and their rulers did not understand the way of Jesus, and so they unintentionally fulfilled the words of our prophets by condemning Jesus to death. Even though the Roman governor could not find one legal reason to kill Jesus, the Israelite authorities still begged the governor to crucify him. Then, after all these things written about Jesus were fulfilled, he was taken down from the cross and buried. But the Creator intervened and raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus then appeared for many days to those who had left everything behind to follow him. These apprentices of Jesus are now his living witnesses to the people. Therefore, we are now declaring to you the gospel of the Creator's rule, which he had promised to our ancestors. The Creator has brought his rule upon the earth and upon us by raising Jesus from the dead. As it is written in the second psalm, "You are my child. Today I have given birth to you and become your father." The Creator raised Jesus from the dead, rescuing him from decay. And therefore he said in the 55th chapter of Isaiah, "For you, I will faithfully fulfill all the promises I made to David." And it also says in the 16th Psalm, "You will not allow the one who lives in your faithful way to experience decay." After serving God's purpose in his generation, David was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. But Jesus was radically different than David. The Creator raised Jesus from the dead, and he did not experience decay. Therefore, my fellow Israelites, know this. Because of the Creator's work through Jesus, freedom from all debts and all slavery is being announced to you. You were not able to be changed into people of true justice through the law of Moses. But through this Jesus, all those who are living by radical trust in the Creator are being changed into people of true justice. Therefore, watch out and pay attention. So what was spoken in the first chapter of the prophet Habakkuk does not come upon you. Those of you who arrogantly look down on and oppress others, beware. You will be amazed, and then you will disappear forever. I, the Creator, am going to do something before your eyes, but you will never change your ways and trust in me, even if someone leads you by the hand. When the gathering was finished, they asked Paul and Barnabas to speak to them about these matters after the Sabbath day was over. Many of them left the teachings of the synagogue in order to follow the teachings of Paul and Barnabas about living in the Creator's generosity. On the next Sabbath day, almost the whole city gathered to listen to the word and teachings of the Lord Jesus. Seeing the crowds, those devoted to the Jerusalem temple were filled with jealousy and began attacking Paul and the things he was teaching. Confidently, Paul and Barnabas responded, "It was necessary to speak the word of the Creator to you Israelites first, but since you are pushing it away and are unwilling to embrace the life of new creation, we must now turn our attention to the other nations of the earth. For the Lord himself commanded us in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, 'I have created you to be a light to all the nations of the earth. You exist in order to help bring freedom and rescue to all corners of the earth.'" Listening to these words, those from the other nations began rejoicing and praising the word of the Lord Jesus. All those who embraced the life of new creation began living by radical trust in the Creator. This caused the word of the Lord Jesus to begin spreading through all the region of Galatia. Those devoted to the Jerusalem temple then incited the wealthy women and the most powerful people in Pisidian Antioch to turn against Paul and Barnabas. They hunted them down and threw them out of the city. Paul and Barnabas followed Jesus' command and shook the dust off their feet as a warning against them. Then they headed to the Galatian city of Iconium. In the face of this persecution, all the apprentices of Jesus in that region were filled with joy in the Creator's Spirit. In Iconium, Paul and Barnabas spoke in the synagogue where those devoted to the Jerusalem temple gathered. A large crowd of them, as well as some people from Greece, then started living by trust in the way of Jesus. But those devoted to the Jerusalem temple stood up against Paul and Barnabas. They did great harm to many people by convincing them to turn against the apprentices of Jesus. But Paul and Barnabas continued to stay in the city for a significant amount of time, confidently teaching the way of Jesus, while the Creator did miraculous things through their hands. The word of Jesus divided the loyalty of the city. Some were with those devoted to the Jerusalem temple, and some were with Jesus' representatives. Eventually, some of the leaders of those devoted to the Jerusalem temple were so frustrated that they stirred up a crowd and began throwing stones at Paul and Barnabas. So Paul and Barnabas fled south and east into the area of Lystra and Derbe. In the region of Lystra and Derbe, Paul and Barnabas began declaring the gospel of the Creator's rule. In Lystra, there was a paralyzed man who had been disabled from birth and had never walked. After the paralyzed man listened to the teachings of Jesus, Paul stared at him and saw the trust that was blossoming in his heart. So Paul said to him in a loud voice, "Get up and stand on your feet." The paralyzed man immediately jumped up and began walking around. Seeing what Paul had done, the crowd started crying out in their own language, saying, "The gods have taken on human form and have come down to dwell among us." They began calling Barnabas Zeus, and then Paul Hermes, because he was the main speaker. The temple caretaker of Zeus, who was outside the city with the crowds, brought bulls and wreaths to the city gates in order to make sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas. When they heard about this, Barnabas and Paul tore their clothes in protest and rushed into the crowd, shouting, "Why are you doing this? We are merely humans like you. We have been declaring the gospel of the Creator's rule, so you will turn away from these useless practices to the living Creator. He made heaven, the earth, the sea, and everything in them. In times past, the Creator gave all the nations over to their own ways. Yet he was always patiently appealing to you by giving you rain and fruitful seasons, thereby filling your lives with food and well-being." After saying these things, they were barely able to keep the crowds from sacrificing to them. Shortly after this, some of those devoted to the Jerusalem temple arrived from Pisidian Antioch and Iconium and turned the crowds against Jesus. They pummeled Paul with stones and dragged him out of the city, supposing they had successfully killed him. But the apprentices all surrounded Paul, and he miraculously stood up and returned to the city. The next day, Paul and Barnabas headed east to the city of Derbe. There they declared the gospel of the Creator's rule and trained a decent number of apprentices. Then they went back through the very cities in Galatia that had rejected them and almost killed them. In those cities, they strengthened the apprentices of Jesus and encouraged them to stand firm in faithfulness to Jesus, saying, "If we faithfully follow the Creator's rule, then we will face trouble, rejection, persecution, and oppression just like our Lord Jesus did. These are gifts that help us to let go of ourselves so we may cling to the Creator alone." Then after a time of prayer and no food, they chose leaders for each new community and entrusted them into the hands of the Creator. Following this, they returned to the province of Pamphylia and taught the way of Jesus to the people there. Then they returned to Syrian Antioch in 49 AD, where they had been appointed for this mission and journey. There they gathered with the community of Jesus and told them everything the Creator did on their trip. They especially recounted how he brought many people from the nations to a life of radical trust in the way of Jesus. They remained with the apprentices of Jesus in Syrian Antioch for about a year.